I've been there. I know where it is. Now, every Sunday something comes up and we gotta switch so far. I think Roberto just likes it down there. So he's like, yeah, no, we're gonna switch again.
To know you more, I want to know Well, good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Hope Not on the Beach this morning, but we're glad you're here to be a part of our worship this morning. You're in a no judgment zone. You hear that a lot, which simply means we want you to worship as freely as you feel. You can sit, stand, lift hands, clap hands. You worship the Lord and let Jesus love on you a little bit today, however you feel it. And if you're joining us online, we welcome you. And we'd ask you to post so we can acknowledge that you're there. And we're now broadcasting from our webpage, hopeonthebeach.com. So just load the page down, and you can scroll to view. And you can also download the connection card and the bulletin from there if you need that. So special welcome to our guests who are here today. If it's your first or second time here today, I'd like to call your attention to the connection card. Those who are regular attenders are very familiar with it. It's in your bulletin, and we'd love for you to fill out as much information on the front as you're willing to share. We'd like to know where you come from, how you found hope, and just if there's any special reason you may have brought you here today. We would just love to know as much as we can about you so we can relate to you faster. And so if you don't mind filling that out, we'll put it in the offering buckets at the end of the service, all right? So this is a great way for us to recognize you and get to know you better. You're a gift from God, and we want to celebrate that. Hope's mission is to awaken hearts to Jesus every day, and we pray for God to do that in our worship today. So Pastor Jason is out of town at a conference in Seattle. And today we have Pastor Ray Angerman. He's going to continue our series, Sent. And he's talking today about the first short-term mission trip. We use the term a lot, on the same page, especially in personal relationships. We say that a lot about people. But it's also true about God. God is sovereign, and so God places people to accomplish his purpose. So you're here today, not by accident, but by design. You may not know why you're here, but God will let you know. And so we're glad you're here, and that God has placed you here with us this morning. The Bible says in Psalm 100, verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful songs. Let's pray together and we'll do just that. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in this place today, to hear from you, meet with you, fellowship with you. Speak to us in this moment, in this time. Speak through Brother Ray as he brings the word you have given him. And we just pray that we might all experience you in the fullest way possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You guys feel free to stand with us as we worship this morning.
We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet, oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord, our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet, no, we shout out your praise.
Sing to the God who heals.
We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung up on that cross, and he rose up from that grave. And my God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet, oh, we shout out. We shout out your praise.
We were the beggars.
'Cause we were the beggars, and now we're royalty. And we were the prisoners, but now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
Sing that again.
'Cause we were the beggars, and now we're royalty. And we were the prisoners, but now we're running free. And we are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet, oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet, oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet, oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet, oh, we shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Amen. Let's give him a hand this morning. God, we thank you that you are our firm foundation, God. We can always lean on you, Lord, no matter what things may look like or feel like to us, God.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad. I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. And I still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. This is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Everything around.
Pray with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we believe in the words that we just sang, that you'll never fail us. As you have promised in your word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Lord, as we've come to worship you this morning, to hear from you in your word, may you bless us in our time together. May you bless Pastor Jason as he leads a seminar up in Seattle this morning. And Lord, just bless and keep him and bring him safely back home this week. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. We're Hope off the beach this morning, not on the beach because of the rain, and it looks like it's going to be clearing off today. And that, I thought you picked out that song. You jumped to the last song. You know you did that, right? Because it has that lyric in there about the storm and the rain came in blue. But it's calmed down out there this morning, so it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be raining here and there. Well, this morning I'll be asking a bunch of questions, so I want you to feel free to answer out loud. Okay? Can you answer out loud? Okay, here we go. How many of you ever been on a mission trip? Raise your hand. Excellent. I've been on several, probably a dozen or so mission trips. I've been to Mexico. I've been to Belize. In fact, the part of Belize I went to was western Belize near the Guatemala border, so it really wasn't Belize. A lot of people go to Belize City, but we went to the all the way to the Guatemala border, interior Belize, through the rainforest areas over there with the monkeys. And mission trips are very exciting to me, and there isn't enough mission work done around the world today. Every time I go on a mission trip, people from the church always ask me, why are you going out of the United States? Because there's so much mission work to be done here in America. And I agree with that. There is a lot of mission work to be done. But I go where God calls me, and sometimes God calls me to go to another country. And for two reasons. One, the people there need to hear the Word of God. And number two, it refreshes my faith. And you'll hear a little bit about that later on. So how many of you would consider yourself a follower of Jesus? Raise your hand. So how many of you would consider yourself a missionary? Jesus was a missionary, wasn't he? And the word missionary, believe it or not, isn't in the Bible. In fact, the Bible uses the word not missionary, but sent ones, that we've been sent. And you'll hear that a little bit later in the scripture. But this morning's sermon is about a man we met last week. Pastor Jason introduced us to a man named Philip. And he's not an apostle. He's a layman and a member of the church. And why is that important? Well, because as you have heard the past 2 weeks, number one, in your notes, God uses ordinary people like you. So our study continues this morning in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26. And I'm going to be breaking up this chapter for you as we kind of go through this in a sermon Bible study. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert place. You see, Philip's in the middle of a revival, and people are coming to Jesus left and right. And then God calls him somewhere else. He's sending him to Gaza. This is little way out of the town, hole in the wall, if you will. You ever been to one of those cities, that little towns that you go through? They've got a Dairy Queen, a nail salon, and one gas station. And always they've got a cop, a shooting radar. That's where he's going, to this little bitty ordinary town. And that is where, number two, the ordinary becomes the extraordinary. The ordinary becomes the extraordinary. And he, Philip, rose and he went. It's extraordinary in the fact that Philip would meet someone from Ethiopia, a country in Africa that is 1,600 miles away. Think about that. Back in that day, 1,600 miles away, Philip would just so happen to meet this guy. And secondly, it's extraordinary in the fact that Philip said yes to God. I'm going to go to this little Gaza town. Because not everyone in Scripture, as you know, is faithful to what God says. Let me remind you of a story. The word of the Lord came to a man named Jonah and said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it." But Jonah rose and fled from the presence of the Lord. He did just the opposite of what God had him do, unlike Philip. But when God guides you, he may not give you every detail of why he's sending you where you are going. The who, what, when, where, how. He may just simply put you where you need to be when you need to be there. And Philip said, "Okay, I'll answer the call." So the question I have this morning, here it is. Are you willing to go wherever and whenever the Lord calls? The Lord could have sent an angel to the Ethiopian, but he didn't. He sent the angel to Philip and said, "Philip, you go to the Ethiopian. You go to Gaza." You know, God didn't give the Great Commission to angels. He gave them to people like you and me. Often we use the phrase being on the same page. You ever use that phrase? Are we on the same page? And we do that with people, but this morning I have to ask the question, are you on the same page with God? Are you on the same page with God? If you're not, maybe today is a new beginning for you. Get on the same page with God. And the response to the Lord's command, "Rise and go," Philip rose and went. When is the last time you felt God is sending you on a mission? And what I mean by that could be a daily mission. You ever had that inkling where you're going like someplace and all of a sudden, it just happened to me day before yesterday. you're going to some place, and all of a sudden God says, no, don't go there, go here. Anybody ever had that? And you go there, and it was a divine meeting set up for you. And you know it was a God thing. The ordinary becomes the extraordinary when you're listening to the Holy Spirit and God, when he directs you to see a certain person or make a certain phone call or write a certain letter, send an email, call someone. I was just thinking, God brings people to your mind for a reason. Sometimes he'll do it in the middle of the night. You ever had that happen? You dream about someone, the next day you call them. Oh, I'm so glad you called. Well, we experience that in our lives as Christians. Well, Philip was having an ordinary day that God made extraordinary only because, number three, Philip had faith in the guidance of God. The guidance of God, even when it doesn't make sense. You see, there were a lot of unanswered questions that Philip had in his mind. Like, why go there? The angel said, go there, but why go there? The angel didn't say. And where exactly on that desert road am I supposed to go after all that? There's 50 miles in there. That's a long way, especially if you're on foot. Where exactly on that 50-mile stretch am I supposed to go? Well, the angel didn't say. And what was supposed to, what am I supposed to look for when I get there? Again, the angel didn't tell him. Just go, was God's instructions, and Philip rose and went. Now, for Philip, this may have sounded kind of off a little bit. You know, I've got this successful ministry in Samaria. People are coming to God in leaps and bounds. There's a revival going on. And surely the Lord wouldn't want me to leave this successful ministry to go there, to this obscure place in the desert. It didn't make sense. Now, Philip could have made a million excuses of why he shouldn't leave where he was at in Samaria and go to this desert place. But Philip has faith in the guidance of God, even though it doesn't make sense. God said go, and he goes, okay. Our story continues, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. Ethiopia in that day was a huge area, not like it is today, but in that day it was a huge area. Basically, in the region, it's in Africa, everything south of the Nile River was considered Ethiopia. And this guy was the treasurer of that whole area. So he had a huge responsibility. He was a very important man. He handled all the queen's money. And because of that, he probably was traveling with a caravan. And the reason he was in a caravan was because of the there was no Holiday Inns back then. So he had to have lodging, so they carried their lodging most of the time with them. He had to have food. There is no McDonald's along the road. And you had to have protection, because when you're traveling that far, you also have money and that you're taking with you to provide for the needs that you can't. You have to buy food along the way. And so they're traveling in this. Imagine this large caravan going and traveling this distance. So Philip sees this caravan. He goes, could this be it? Certainly God doesn't want me to take on an entire caravan of foreigners all by myself. But wait for it. Look at number four. Sometimes God's plans, they roll out like a scroll. I wish I had a red phone that I could call God, go pick it up, and go, God, am I supposed to be doing this today? Mm-hmm, yeah. Just answer yes or no. Okay, thank you. Don't you wish you had a red phone sometimes? Sometimes God's plans, they unroll like a scroll. And when you're unrolling a scroll, the whole plan is on the scroll. But as you're unrolling it, you only see what? Bits and pieces. But be patient. A lot of times God unrolls his plans to you slowly. You know why he does that? Because he wants you to walk by faith, not by sight. And that's why he does that, to strengthen us in our faith. And listen how this played out for Philip. He, the Ethiopian, had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot. I mean, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us how the Spirit said this to Philip. It, it doesn't tell us, but one of the things you'll find out in the book of Acts is the Spirit is speaking to people. And I think the number one reason the Spirit is speaking to people is because they did not have the written word like you and I have. I mean, we have the still small voice of God if you listen, but also we have God's word that directs us. They didn't have God's word. So God goes, until the Bible is written, I'm going to have to speak to these people and tell them, you know, where they're supposed to go and what they're supposed to do. You know, there were a lot of different religions in Ethiopia at the time. And as you know, people have a need to worship. We all have a need to worship. And some people worship the sun, they worship the stars, they worship the moon. Some people worshiped animals. But apparently, this Ethiopian said, you know, that's not good enough. There's got to be more to it than that. If you don't have Jesus in that hole in your heart, you're always going to be searching. Always be looking for something more. Popularity, fame, money, that new whatever it is. It's never going to satisfy. And for this Ethiopian, even back then, he was a very wealthy man managing all the queen's money. He felt empty. He needed something more. So he had heard about this Jewish religion, and he went there to find out. And he had enough money to buy a scroll. Scrolls were very expensive back then. The Ethiopian had a lot of questions. Philip had God's answers. See, Philip had read the Old Testament, but the New Testament hadn't been written yet. So listen to this. Philip didn't need to read the New Testament. Philip experienced the Gospels. He lived through the life of Jesus. And he shared the truth of what he had seen and heard about Jesus. That's called an eyewitness. An eyewitness. And you never know when God's going to lead you to be an eyewitness. That's why Peter wrote, and I have these in your notes, always be ready to answer everyone who asks you to explain that hope you have. You know, we don't have to be a Bible scholar to be a missionary for Christ. Just tell the truth and nothing but the truth, right? Tell the truth, nothing but the truth. And share what you've seen and heard. In fact, God's plan of salvation is very simple. Number five, God's plan of salvation is found in John 3:16. Does that surprise you? It's found in John 3:16. Can you say that with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. How many people know that verse? That's called the good news of the Bible. And you just took the very first oral missionary qualification entrance exam, and you all passed. Congratulations. Give yourself a hand. And the ushers will be handing out your assignments as you leave here this morning, okay? Our text continues. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I? Unless someone guides me." And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth, and his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Acts 8:30. So Philip sees his chariot making progress down this dusty road. And remember, God said, go over and join this chariot. He might have had fear in his heart because it's a caravan of people. You know, in the caravan of people, they had protectors to take care of this Ethiopian eunuch. He might have had fear in his heart, but he listened to the Holy Spirit, and the fear was replaced with faith. And remember, God said, go join this chariot. Did you hear what the Bible says? Philip didn't just join the chariot. It says he ran. He ran to the chariot. He wasn't going to miss this opportunity. When God is with you, have no fear. Reminds me of another story. Remember that guy named David who was facing Goliath? Read that story again. When Goliath was taunting David, "You come to be a boy like you're got sticks and stones, like you're going to beat on a dog." And what did the Bible say David did? It says he ran toward Goliath. He ran toward Goliath. because he had God on his side. When you have God on your side, you don't have to fear. And this is what Philip did. He ran toward the caravan. And he sees this finely, strangely dressed man. He's reading from the scroll, and he's reading it out loud, which is not uncommon for that day. And Philip recognizes the words from Isaiah the prophet. And Philip opens the conversation. This is important. He opens the conversation with a question. Do you understand what you're reading? And surprisingly, the eunuch replies, how can I? Unless someone explains it to me. He didn't say, what is it your business? Who are you to ask me this question? He said, yeah, how can I understand this unless someone explains it to me? What an opportunity to share the gospel. I have a question for you. When you are in conversation with people, do you listen for an opportunity to share the gospel? Do you listen for an opportunity to share the gospel? The eunuch motions to his driver to stop the chariot, and he invites Philip to take a seat beside him. And he's traveling a long way to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem, to read about God. And he's reading this Isaiah scroll on the way home. And there's a section about the suffering, this guy that's suffering, the suffering, mysterious suffering figure, doesn't give him a name. And verse 32, the passage of the scripture that the eunuch was reading was this: like a sheep he was led to slaughter, and like a lamb before shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. That's a quotation from Isaiah 53. So he's in chapter 53, I should say scroll 53, which was written about Jesus 800 years before Jesus was born. He only got to chapter 53. He hadn't read chapter 55. In chapter 55, it says this, listen up. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We like sheep have gone astray, each to have turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and the sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. It's a whole prophecy about Jesus, and Jesus fulfilled all of this. He didn't open his mouth to defend himself. Why? Because he was conceding our guilt. He was going and beaten for our punishment. And so the eunuch was asking, is the prophet Isaiah describing himself or someone else? You know, one of the reasons he wants to know this is because he had just got back from Jerusalem, and when he went to the temple, he couldn't go in. He traveled all this way, and he couldn't go into the temple because there was a sign before you entered the temple gate that says, no lame, blind, or eunuchs may enter here. Does he have any hope? It's here that number six, Philip, met the eunuch where he was at and took him into the Word. He took him into the Word. Let me read this for you. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I asked, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? And then Philip opened his mouth and began with this scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. John 3:16. Told him the good news about Jesus. And that's all it says that he said. And then guess what happened? And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. You know, as the chariot rolls on, Philip engages this eunuch in Bible study. Let's talk about the Word of God. Don't listen to what I have to say, Philip says. Listen to what the Word of God says. This mysterious suffering figure is Jesus. He was recently crucified in Jerusalem, and he rose again on the third day. I saw this. His disciples saw this. And the Ethiopian eunuch believes Philip's words about Jesus. And they pass by this river, and he asks to be baptized, and Philip baptizes him. Now, what's important about all of this is this. The question wasn't, well, why should I be baptized? The question was, what prevents me from being baptized? Because when he met Jesus on that road, he wanted to be baptized. There may be somebody here this morning that's not baptized. You know who you are. If you've never been baptized, what is keeping you from being baptized? You know, maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, and you have questions. Like the eunuch, you've got questions. Well, see me or see Pastor Jason. See someone you trust, one of the members here. And get your questions answered. And I encourage you to talk to us and put your faith in Jesus and then be baptized. Maybe you have faith in Jesus, but, and I've met people, I baptized a man who had been a Christian for 20 years. He'd never been baptized. And he kept putting it off, and he was busy, and he just was never baptized. So I encourage you, if you're that person, be baptized. Maybe you think, well, it's not that important. You know, thief on the cross wasn't baptized. I hear that from some people. But think about this. It's important to Jesus. After Jesus rose from the dead and he was fixing to ascend into heaven, he tells his disciples, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So for Jesus, for you to be baptized, that's important to him. And if Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, be baptized today. The ordinary could be changed into the extraordinary for you. The Ethiopian eunuch's transformation is remarkable. He goes from being a man wrestling with Scripture to being baptized believer. And it wasn't instantaneous. I mean, it didn't happen just like that. It involved a conversation with Philip. It involved Philip sharing his faith. And the Ethiopian eunuch had to respond to God's word. Do you remember Saul on the road to Damascus? Saul, who saw the bright light of Jesus and was blinded. And then he was led by hand to a place. And then Ananias was told to go witness to Paul, who becomes Paul. This is what happens here. Missionary work isn't just about preaching. It's about helping others encounter Jesus. And sometimes it takes conversation and sharing and praying. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome in Romans 10:14. How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how can anyone go and tell them without being sent? There's that word. That is why Scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. You know, what the requirement is of a missionary is not extraordinary knowledge or eloquent speech, but just to speak the truth as you know it in your life and be a witness for Christ. That's what it means to share your faith. And the world is literally dying for good news, dying for good news. And the conversation between the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip all began with a question. It began with a question. And it reminds me of the story of how God called me into the ministry. Many of you may know this, but when I was a senior in high school, at Waco High School in Waco, Texas, I was the president of the law enforcement club in Waco High School. And I was awarded a scholarship to the Waco Police Department, full ride, books, tuition, everything. It was wonderful for a poor country boy. That was huge. So I was working the summer of 1971 at the Waco Police Department Records and Dispatch as a cadet in the police force. And for a whole month, I was going. My mom would drop me. I didn't have a car back then. My mom would drop me off at the police department, and she'd come get me in the afternoon. And I went to a potluck. It was August of 71. I went to a potluck dinner at our church, and there was an old retired pastor there who wanted to know why I wanted to become a cop. And I said, because I wanted to help people. And then he asked me this question, and I quit the very next day. My whole life, I mean, my whole high school year was like, I'm going to become a policeman. I mean, I live on a farm. I can shoot a gun. I've been driving since the fourth grade. I fit right into that mold, baby. And he said, wouldn't it be better to help people before they needed a cop? I quit the next day. God called me into the ministry with that one question. Wouldn't it be better to help people before they needed a cop? At that moment, I knew God called me into the ministry, and I never regretted my decision. And God used an old retired pastor with one question that called me into the ministry, like the Ethiopian eunuch in Philip. Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? So after 50 years in the ministry, I've become the old retired pastor. And I want to ask you a question. Would you like to spend your life for something that will outlast it? Would you like to spend your life for something that will outlast it? They say that there are no U-Hauls behind hearses because you can't take it with you. And there's only one thing you'll see in heaven that you see here on the earth. And that's the people who became Christians because you cared enough about their eternal destiny that you shared Jesus with them. Our memory verse for this morning is from Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard can you say this with me? Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. So number 7, where is God sending you? Where is God sending you? You know, God is calling us all to be missionaries, and it starts with just a willingness to listen and a willingness to share the love of Christ with those around us. You know, we're not just talking about a Bible story, because this is a Bible story. We're talking about a call to action. God is still calling people into missionary work, both here and afar. And the question isn't whether or not you're called. The question is, how will you respond? Are you going to open to the unexpected ways God might call you to serve? Step out of your comfort zone. I did. I mean, it was August of 1971, and Concordia College started the next week. And I hadn't enrolled, didn't have any money, and God brought me from full scholarship into a loan at a college that I had never lived away from home in Texas. And so God called me, and I said, this is going to be scary, Lord. I'm going to have to walk on water with you when I do this. And he did. He kept me afloat. So are you willing to step out of your comfort zone and share the good news? So where's God sending you? Maybe God's sending you to your first bullet point on your sheet to share Jesus with one of your family members, someone at work, or your friend or a neighbor. And it's as easy as to share Jesus with one of your, to share what Jesus means to you. It's as easy as that. Have you seen that commercial on TV called Hello? A lot of people have seen it. It's a prayer app. Maybe you can say, hey, have you seen that? Do you pray? That's the question. Do you pray? And who you pray to? And start your conversation with an easy question for people. And be okay if I pray for you. You know, some people ask me about these bracelets on my arm. They're prayer bracelets. Every bracelet has a name on it. And it's people that I pray for on a daily basis. And I want them to know I'm praying for them, that I just don't say I'm praying for you, that I'm really praying for you. And that's why these prayer bracelets are on my left wrist. So maybe you start your conversation with, is it okay if I pray for you? And what can I pray about for you? Let me say that again. What can I pray about for you? That's an open conversation to the gospel, to share Jesus with one of your family members, someone at work, friend or neighbor. Or maybe God is sending you to a second bullet point here to help plant Mission Campus at Inlet Beach. We're going to be having a sunrise service out there, and we're trying to get a regular schedule at Inlet Beach. That's how this place started, and maybe we can get another preaching station out there at Mission Campus. And Pastor Jason can't do it alone. He needs help. Even if you're there just to hand out bulletins, even if you just attend the church and sit with the people, you're a witness to them. Maybe that is your call, to be a missionary, to be Christ to those people out there. Or maybe God is sending you to spend your summer vacation on a two-week mission trip. If that's you, we can arrange that for you. Last week, we had a bunch of college kids here from Michigan. Weren't they wonderful, those of you who met them? They gave up their spring break to witness and to do projects in this area. And maybe God says, okay, how about 2 weeks in the summer? Can you do that? I'm not asking you to go for a year. I'm just asking you to go for 2 weeks. Maybe that's where God is sending you. What about this one? God is sending you into full-time ministry. That was me. If that's you, we can help you get started. You know, Pastor Jason's son, Jacob, was on track to be a pharmacist. Did you know that? That's a lucrative job. He's a smart kid. And God, he struggled with it. I was part of his struggle. He was going, to pharmacist, you know, I can make money and give it to the church. Don't want to do that. You know, do I want to be a pastor? And finally, God says, no, you want to be a pastor. You want to help people before they need a pharmacist. You want to help these people. And he'll be graduating, taking a call to a church. I just say, congratulations, brother. Thanks for listening to the God. If you trust him with your eternal salvation, you can trust him with your life here on earth. Let me say that again. If you trust Jesus with your eternal salvation, you can trust him with your life here on earth. 1,000 years is like a day unto the Lord. And God says, I'll take care of you. If I'm going to take care of you for eternity, I'm surely going to take care of you now. You can take a step out of the boat, walk on water. You know, at Hope on the Beach, we believe every person, regardless of who they are, where they live, is important. And maybe God is sending you to an international mission trip, an international mission trip. I noticed when people go on with me, either to Belize or Mexico, and they've never done this before, there's a transformation that takes place in their lives. They're never the same once you go with me on a mission trip. You come back changed. And some people, for the first time, they have this zeal to witness their faith when they see what God's doing in another country. They understand what they're supposed to be doing here. And I guarantee you that once you go to a foreign country for the sake of the gospel, you will never be the same. So talk to Pastor Jason. He says, talk to him. I ask him about this, and he says, yeah, tell him to talk to me. Because I can make that happen for you. That it could be, you know, 3 months, 6 months, or a year. If that's you, talk to Pastor Jason. You know, one of the areas of particular focus in your notes is the 1040 window. It's a geographical band encompassing parts of North Africa, Middle East, and Asia. And the reason it's called 1040 is because it's 10 and 40 degrees north latitude. It's where the majority of unevangelized people live. More than half of the world's population live in this window, and they have limited access to the gospel. And if we're serious about making Christ known, this is where the people are that need to hear about Jesus. You know, the early Christian church never did evangelism in church. Let me say that again. They didn't do evangelism in church. Sunday mornings was for worshiping and for teaching. And then they scattered after the service to go evangelize. Pastor Jason, I know I'm quoting him a lot, but he said to you, Sunday mornings are just a holy huddle. Remember that? Just a holy huddle. The game's out there. That's where the mission field is. Which brings us to the last point, and I think it's the most important point to me. Are you ready? Number 8, sharing the gospel is your bucket list. Is your bucket list. You know, that term bucket list came into wide use after the release of the film The Bucket List in 2007. How many people saw the film The Bucket List? Okay, a lot of you have. Those of you who have not, it's a story about two men played by Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman who have been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and they're working together to kind of make the most of the time they have left before they kick the bucket. They're going to go skydiving. They're going to go walk the pyramids, drive race cars, a bunch of other stuff. So bucket list is a list of things that a person wants to experience and achieve before they die. Well, the catch is what? You never know when that day is going to happen, do you? Did you know that there are a number of online calculators? If you're gutsy enough to go here, you can go there. You know, the Social Security Agency, when they're doing their budget, calculate they use a calculator for your life expectancy based on the overall averages of people living in the United States. They'll say, well, your life expectancy is this. And then there's another one. It's called the death clock. And you can put that information in, your information, and it'll tell you the exact day they think you're going to die. Clearly, no one knows when you're going to die except God. But it got me to thinking, what if I really knew the day I was going to die? You know, my guess is that maybe you've thought about this. After all, there are people who come face-to-face with a medical diagnosis, and they're given a limited amount of time that they're going to live, right? The doctor says, well, you've got 6 months. So let's just imagine for a moment that everyone here knew the exact date we're going to die. What difference would that make in your daily life? Would you develop a bucket list and spend the rest of your life trying to fulfill it? Would you be more attentive to your relationship with other people or your walk with God? If you knew you only had 1 year to live, what would you want to do? Now, there's a website called bucketlist.org. Are you ready? The top five items that people put on there is see the Northern Lights. Has anybody here seen the Northern Lights? Oh, a bunch of you. Okay. Number two is skydive. Anybody gone skydiving? Oh, two over here. Get a tattoo. Anybody got a tattoo? Oh, over here. How about go on a cruise? Oh, a bunch of people. Swim with dolphins. Anybody here? Oh, look at that. Okay, has anybody done all five? Anybody done all five of those? Four of those? You did four of those? Do you feel like your life is now complete and you're ready to kick the bucket? No? Because Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, before you make out your bucket list, let me give you a perspective. Are you ready? First off, there's nothing wrong with planning what you want to do and what you want to see in life. Did God make a beautiful creation? Amen. Do you thank God every day when you wake up, you see like the beach or sunrise or sunset, and you enjoy that? We won't experience it all, but we have to be careful not to leave God out of our bucket list. Make God number one. You know, often a bucket list points to self-indulgence. It's all about me. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong wanting to go to Hawaii or go have a French dinner at Paris at midnight, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But when you get to heaven and you look back at your life here on earth, do you think that you will regret not getting that tattoo? Probably not. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 90:12, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And I think that's what Jesus was getting at when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let your light shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father. And do not lay for yourselves treasures on earth. As you heard Pastor Jason say several times last week, it's not about me. It's not about me. As Christians, our bucket list is about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And loving your neighbor means caring about where they're going to spend eternity. Do you care about where your neighbor's going to spend eternity? That means taking time and effort, no matter what the cost, to tell them about Jesus. And, you know, for me, I've come to discover that living in the moment, this moment, with you, right now, is my bucket list. You're my bucket list. Whoever I'm spending that time with at the moment is my bucket list. Because the only thing that you'll see in heaven is other people that you share the gospel with. So your bucket list is people. Spending time with people. Sharing the gospel with them. The reason Jesus died on the cross is because he cared about where we were going to spend eternity. That's why he died on the cross. And his disciples of Jesus It's always about living faithfully, not worrying about dying, but living our lives to the fullest, giving our failures to his mercy and our successes to his glory. One day when you finally make it to heaven and you look back at how you spent your life on earth, what do you think you would want to have done differently? Now is the time to do it. And now for the rest of the story, Acts 8. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and And the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing, but Philip found himself in Athos. And he passed through and he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. It wasn't only the Ethiopian eunuch who was filled with joy. The scriptures tell us, I tell you, there's joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And as the eunuch rejoiced on his way, he kept reading Isaiah, and he got to Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56 says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, I will give them an everlasting name, and they will not be cut off. His hope was in Jesus, and his hope was fulfilled. And the Ethiopian eunuch who was serving the kingdom in Africa is now serving the kingdom of Jesus. And I pray that our eyes will be open to the opportunities and places, and that you will say yes as God sends you out as his missionaries. You pray with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that directs us so clearly of how we are to live our lives and how we are to be lights in the dark world in which we live, the salt of the earth. You have called us to make disciples of all nations. And Lord, it's so hard sometimes to get out of our security here. Pray, Lord, that you would send your spirit to move us, that there will be a revival beginning here in Walton County and spreading out through the world. We thank you for the ministry you've given us here, Lord. May we take it seriously. May you guide us in everything that we do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ray. What a terrific word for all of us. I want to call your attention again to your Connect card, the back page. You may have a response to today's message you'd like to share. You can do that on the back of the card, as well as you can let us know if you plan to connect. One thing that may be of interest is March 22nd. We're having a training to be part of the Stephen Ministry. And if you would like to attend that, it's an 8:30 to 1 or 1:30. The thing that caught my attention was lunch. So lunch is provided. So that's good news. And speaking of lunch, we have breakfast this morning. Before you go, it's right back here in the corner. And we'd love for you to stay and fellowship with us over a little breakfast. So we invite you to do that before you go. We're going to, there are other things on the back of the card. You may want to share prayer requests. We'd love to hear those and pray with you and for you if you will share those with us. So we're going to continue worship with the receiving of our offering. You have a offering envelope in your bulletin that you can give here. There are also in your bulletin instructions on how to text your giving, or you can give online. So there are lots of ways you can share in God's work through Hope on the Beach. So we invite you to be generous and cheerful. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I don't think you have to giggle, but you can at least smile a little bit while you know you're sharing in God's work. All right, so we invite you to participate in this piece of worship as we begin to close our time. So, as we sing, our men will come by with buckets, and you can place your offering, your Connect card, in the buckets as they come by.
I need you. Soften my heart and break me apart. I need you. open my eyes and see that you're shaping my life. All I am, I surrender. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. I need you to soften my heart and break me apart. I need you to pierce through the dark and cleanse every part of me. 'Cause I may be weak. I may be weak. Your spirit's strong in me, and my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. Yeah, I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me, and my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. Yeah, give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Give you my life. We give you.
God, we thank you that you are faithful, that we can trust you with our lives, Lord, that our lives in your hands are worth so much more, and they're so much greater than our lives run by our own strength, God, and we thank you for that. So as you guys go forth from here, receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious unto you. May he look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. See y'all next week.